Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
ESPN FM 101.5 and 1480 AM Studios. This is the Greggith and Hooks Show. Call the show 402-466-3776. Your teams, your town, your show. Here are your hosts, Nick Greggith and Bill Hooks.
Happy Thursday. Welcome into Greggith and Hooks on League of Sports Authority, ESPN FM 101.5, 1480. I am Nick Greggith. Hooksy is out today. He's playing Chicken King right now. He'll be back in tomorrow. We got Willie J in the house and a lot of you at 402-466-3776, 466-ESPN. Today we're going to have opportunities for you to win Boo at the Zoo tickets. That's right. You can get some Boo at the Zoo tickets from us here at Greggith and Hooks. We can also get you hooked up and set up with some movie tickets for this weekend to go to any movie you want to on us at Greggith and Hooks down at the Grand Theater. You'll have your opportunity to get on our pass list a little later in the show. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Willie J, what's good, brother? How
what's
you doing?
What's up? Doing good, doing good. How are you, man?
Man, I'm good. I'm excited. It's going to be a fun day. Obviously, as me being a diehard Chiefs fan, this is a game day. It's a Denver Donkey hate day, as I like to call it. I love hating the Denver Broncos.
So I didn't watch the last two Chiefs games.
Yes.
What went wrong?
A lot. They're injured. They got a lot of injuries. Mahomes
is that what
is hurt.
It is?
And then just not capitalizing on stuff. Okay. You know, their run defense is god awful right now because they're out. Both their defensive tackles are hurt. Their middle linebackers hurt. Both their starting cornerbacks are hurt.
I didn't know if we were seeing a conservative Andy Reid early or not.
No, God, no. Actually, that whole conservative Andy Reid thing, and I wonder how Marco feels about this. That it doesn't happen because Pat Mahomes is the quarterback. Like, Pat Mahomes just bombs this thing left and right, goes downfield. No, injuries have taken their toll on the Chiefs. They're kind of wading through the middle of the year, hoping to get back. In a couple weeks, they'll have their left tackle back. That's going to help a lot. They're going to have their number two receiver back. That'll help a lot.
Gotcha.
The biggest thing, I think, and we'll get into this a little later on the show, but the biggest thing to talk about today, traditionally when the Chiefs play Denver, they kick their ass with the run. Denver can't stop the run. Like, their stats will tell you one thing. The teams who play against them on a regular basis will tell you another thing. The Chiefs don't have a running game right now. You know, LeSean McCoy is like fourth in the league in yards per rush, but he's only carrying the ball eight times a game.
And he's been hurt too.
Yeah, he had an ankle injury, but he's played every game.
Gotcha.
But yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how they go tonight and what they do. A lot of it's going to be on Pat Mahomes and his ankle injury. I'll tell you this. Teams that, even if they're hurt, typically teams who are like your season-long Super Bowl contenders, typically those teams don't lose three games in a row at any point during the season. Now, there are excuses, and I call them that, built in with all the injuries. But we'll kind of see where it goes, and then there's a lot of trade stuff going on, so we'll get to that a little later in the show as we talk NFL with you. Hour number two, as we do every single Thursday, it's going to be a super fun one. We've got Marco D'Angelo, wagertalk.com. He will join the show and pick you 10 winners, 5 college, 5 pro, that you will get. And you can go out, drive out to the boats in Counciltucky and cash those checks if you want to. And then we'll do fantasy football talk a lot in hour number two. So going to be an action-packed, fun hour. A lot of your phone calls at 402-466-3776.
Did you see the pictures of the sports book up there?
No, I have not seen anything.
Just opened the other I think just yesterday. It's looking nice.
Is it pretty good looking? Yeah. What's it look like?
Like 50 TVs, you know, around the room. Nice chairs, you know, in rows.
I don't know if I'm allowed to be there still.
Right.
I have not figured that out.
Yeah.
Is that in the horseshoe? Where's it at?
I don't know where that's at.
Because I don't know that I'm still allowed to go because my brother got me kicked out.
Ameristar, is that the one?
Yeah, they're combined. There's two of them I can't go to.
I think that's the one.
Because they're both owned by the same company. And I think I think 10 years later, I'm still kicked out. I tried going like 2 years ago, and it did not happen. They were like, sorry, you're on the do not pass list.
Cannot believe that.
You need to go home. I was like,
maybe it's
what?
Different because it's a sports book, so maybe you get into that.
But. Maybe. I don't know. I'll have to find that out. Yeah. I would be interested to find out. That'd be a lot of fun. Let's kick off the show, though, with some Husker talk. Bill Moose was asked back in July what his expectations were for the season. This was at Big Ten Media Days. And do you remember what he said?
Did he say six wins?
Six wins was the line. And at that time, you know, when you had Nebraska over-under for Vegas was 8.5.
Mm-hmm.
You had Adrian Martinez as the number three, tied for third. He was one of the top five guys total for Heisman odds.
Yeah.
You had Nebraska as like one of the, I think, the third highest Big Ten opportunity, like the best chances to get to a college football playoff. So there was a lot of, nationally, a lot of expectations and hype. Yeah. Locally, you know, people were just eating up the stuff that was being said about,
right,
you know, the strength program and how strong and big and buff these guys are.
Mm-hmm.
I always reference that newspaper article that I laughed at the time that said Nebraska had the biggest offensive line in the Big Ten. I was like, yeah, I'll wait and see what we look like next to some of these other teams.
Yeah, that was big news.
But Bill Moose said six games. And when he made that comment, like I said, people kind of reacted to it. Like, are you serious, Moose? What are you doing here? He's setting a pretty low ceiling here, low expectation level. Turns out he kind of knew what he was talking about because it looks like this is going to be a 6 or 7 win team,
mm-hmm,
depending on how the season plays out. Bill Moose said, quote, this is the fourth college football program that I've been part of building, and it takes some time. I knew it was going to take some time. And he goes, but look, I love the hype. He said the great interest and, again, the exposure we're getting across the country. But in a year or two, and, of course, I was hopeful in year one, but realistically, year two is a get to six or even seven. But that's great when you get to six. You're hoping for the postseason. You get those extra practices. You can develop young players, and it helps in recruiting. That was the benchmark I laid out back in Media Days. I kind of got scoffed at, but I believe we can win every single game. So he's kind of dancing back and forth with,
right,
you know, hey, I still think we're winning six, but we could still win out, sort of a deal. He said it's a great week for a bye, catch our breath a little bit, and get back to the rest of the schedule and get some victories, get to six wins so we can get those practices.
Do you think, like, at that time, Frost was like, okay, I kind of agree with him?
Yes, and I'll tell you why. I think Frost and company, even though publicly they were saying how strong this team is, how advanced this team is, all these things.
Right.
I can't possibly believe that they didn't see at practice that receivers were having a hard time getting, you know, out of a jam. That, you know, his offensive linemen, especially his center didn't just start snapping the football everywhere but at the quarterback once the game started. I promise you in practice that was happening as well. So, yeah, I think so. I mean, they came out of the gate conservative. We talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he saw that and thought that was, well, at the beginning of the year, you have everything in front of you. That was the best way for him to maybe eke out some of these victories.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, too, I kind of have some numbers on that. So last year, Nebraska averaged 72 plays per game. If you take out their highest, it's like 71 plays per game. Right now, Nebraska's averaging 70, so it doesn't feel that different.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to remember, they had a 98-play game, one of the games this year. If you remove that from the list, Nebraska's only averaging in the mid-60s for plays per game, which 7-8, roughly, plays per game that they're missing out on, that's an entire drive. That's
wow.
A big deal.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
So they have slowed down quite a bit.
Hmm.
And actually, last season, the second half of the year, Nebraska was averaging almost 79 plays per game.
Wow.
So they really had, I mean, we're talking, that's, you know, again, around 13 extra plays. That's right there alone. If you're, you know, on an average offense that averages like 9 yards, that, you know, 8 yards per play, that sort of thing, completed play.
Yeah.
Like, that's a big deal. That's 100 extra yards a game that they're missing.
And you guys talked about it yesterday, how Frost said, you know, we want the Big Ten to change their system for us, but it looks like we're changing ours for them. This is exactly what that looks like. Less plays.
Yeah, you know? It's frustrating. And here's the thing. I would rather, and he's talked about this before, and I actually totally agree with this philosophy. And as a guy who does a radio show, I'd be happy to come on the show and defend him. Would I sound like a homer? I guess. But I would defend him over this instead of, you know, openly criticizing it. If I thought those guys were going out and playing like they did last season towards the end, where they were just playing balls to the wall, we're running our offense, we're going to go downfield, we're going to scheme guys open, we're going, even if a guy struggles at something, we're going to get him out there and we're going to see what happens. We're going to get it going because it's our offense.
Nothing really to lose.
I would defend that till the day I die, because you guys, here's the deal, and I'm going to keep saying this. Winning 6, 7, 8 games this season, it does not matter. Does not matter if you win 6 or 8 games. I don't care which one it is. That won't matter. You're going to be in a bowl game. Maybe you'll get to a better bowl game.
Right.
Right? But you're going to get those practices. You're going to get to a bowl game. The end game for me is run your offense, get better at it this year. So next year, instead of saying 6, 7, 8, we're saying 8, 9, you know, somewhere in that neighborhood. You run your offense. You might lose a game to a good team or even a bad team because you had some mistakes, but you were running. You were fast, no fear of failure, all that stuff.
Yeah.
I'll defend that until my face falls off, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard for me to defend where I know in the future if this team, this organization is going to get back to where it wants to be, which is what the hype was before this year, being a dark horse to do some stuff, being a 10-11 maybe win team because the schedule's good. They're not doing that by running 64 plays a game.
Right.
They're doing it by running 78 plays a game.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing it by stretching the field. They're doing it by not having basically 3 guys catching passes all season, right? Washington, Spielman, and Wandale. It's spread out. It's guy. Some weeks, Noah's position has 100 yards. Some weeks, you know, whatever. Like, that's what this offense is. They take advantage of the defense. They scheme guys open, but also they run misdirection, help the line, and that kind of stuff. So, like, that's why, like, I keep saying, to me, the most important thing for the rest of the year is that when we leave games, I can point to they took 6 shots downfield, right? And if you notice, taking those shots opened it up underneath for them to be able to do some of the stuff they want to, mm-hmm. get to the screens they want to do. Hey, I noticed they ran, you know, a guy pre-snap across the field and then had him leak out, misdirection stuff, pre-snap stuff. All the stuff that you can go back and watch UCF do, and you can go back and watch Oregon do. You know, that's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah.
You know, if a guy like Woodyard, and I'm just using him as an example, because he hasn't done a lot this year, but he was really hyped up. Supposed to be super fast. Williams as well.
Yep.
Guys that were polished because they got here, you know, transferred in, you know, whatever. If those guys pre-snap can't go tearing down the line of scrimmage and have the ball snapped, have your other guy go deep, and then them get a pass out in the flat, if somehow they're getting, which should be impossible, but if they're getting jammed in that situation or something like that, then now we'll talk about recruiting and why the hell you brought this person here if they're incapable of doing something that's simple, that you could grab X amount of receivers from Rutgers, which is a terrible team, throw them out there and scheme them open. That's how much I believe in Scott Frost and the offense and what they do.
Yeah.
You know, this is a really smart offense. It's a really smart offense for getting guys open.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason the NFL has started going plug and play at certain position groups, and so a lot of teams are bringing in this type of offense, these types of plays, where you guys got guys swinging around pre-snap. You know, watch the Chiefs tonight. You'll see a bunch of it, especially with Tyreek Hill, you know. So, and I want to see that from the offense. And if that's that case at the end of the year, I don't care if they win 6, 7, or 8 games.
You just want to see it.
I'll tell you, man, we're moving in the right direction, because I promise you'll see guys then continue to grow.
So, I can't think of any reasons why we saw some of this last year and we're not seeing it this year. Why we're seeing the plays decrease?
Dude, I'll tell you. I think there was a little bit of a pressure from all the news, like all the media hype, all that
really?
Kind of stuff. I mean, this is totally just me, and I could be totally wrong here, okay?
This is just
me observing as a guy who's been doing this for a decade. This is me observing, because I've seen this from other coaches, kind of a similar deal.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, Scott's really young, man, and there's one thing that he wants more than anything, and it's to succeed at this university. And I think sometimes it's easy to put the cart before the horse and look basically, you know, look at what's right in front of you instead of looking what's ahead of you. And what I mean by that is I think there was a lot of hype around this team. Scott is smart. He looked at that schedule and said, man, this is definitely – I mean, think about how bad Nebraska's played at times this year. And right now they're sitting here with 4-3.
Yeah.
They easily could have won the Colorado game. So then all of a sudden we're sitting here at 5-2, right?
Right.
This easily could be a 5-2 team.
Yep.
Their other two losses, they got their ass kicked. Like, there's nothing to say about it besides you showed up, the other team showed up, they bullied you, and you got your ass kicked. All right? Your team just did not step up that day. They played bad, got your ass kicked.
Mm-hmm.
But you look at Colorado, you were kicking their butt to start that game.
Man.
Adjustments weren't made. You had a fear of failure. He talked about it after the game. And you lose that game. But I think there was a little bit of this coaching staff looked at what the potential was. I think they realistically looked at their roster and said, man, if we can play this close to our vest a little bit, we might have a shot. And I think they ended up worrying more about doing whatever possible to win games this season in spite of, and I think it is in spite of, what playing with no fear of failure and the way that they run this offense would do for them in the coming years. Like I said yesterday, we as Husker fans, and I'll throw me in here as well, we as Husker fans need to be as optimistic as we can be, like usual. We need to have our preseason Kool-Aid because that's part of the excitement. That's part of how we, you know, get jacked up to where we go out to Colorado and take over their stadium. These are all positive things.
Yeah.
And we need to have all that. But in our back pocket, we need to look at this thing and say, all right, but realistically now, all that optimistic stuff is out the window. It's disappointing, but I can see the forest for the trees, right?
Yeah.
I'm not looking at just this season. I'm looking at a career and a rebuilding project.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't catch lightning in a bottle. So now what does success look like this year? And what's that? What can we build on to see the forest, to see what hopefully turns into something fantastic? And to me, that's where we as fans need to come at this now, is sit back and say, all right, let's see it. And I hope, because if it doesn't happen and if we go the whole season and we get through and, you know, Spielman will collect his yards because he's getting a lot of targets. But if we come out of this season and let's say we go 6-6, which is possible, 6-6, but the offense is still trending in the wrong direction as far as plays per game. Your offense is ranked 76th right now in total yards in the nation. And you have one game up on everybody, by the way. Most all the teams have had their bye week, right?
Yeah.
So heading into this week, you're a game up on everyone, mm-hmm. most everyone, and you're still 76th in the country in yards. That's crazy. But if we end this season where you're still in the 70s in yards per game, only three guys are touching the ball on offense, what that's telling me is, A, the offense is not playing well. You're not scheming guys open like a talented coach that is Scott Frost should be able to do. And there's a lot of – we're taking a step – this was a step back year. If you finish 6-6, but I see this offense get rolling and you move up to like in the 40s in total offense, whatever, second half of the year, you're top 20 – your quarterback is starting to look good again like he did last year, making decisive, aggressive reads. And you're taking shots downfield. Now all of a sudden I see in the second half, well, I don't care, Cade Warner, you know, catches a bunch of passes out of the slot. You got Williams catches a ball up the sideline for a touchdown because he's fast. I heard all about how fast he was and how we got nine guys that can play wide receiver.
Connor Winoa had good numbers.
Right? Connor Winoa had a 72-catch season in his career. If I start seeing guys in the second half trending in that direction and we finish 6-6, I'll be excited for next year.
Sure.
Because you're taking a step in the end. You return everyone but one guy, Connor Winoa. That's why I'm saying my focus for the last five games of this season is we're going to get this snowball. I always talk about it, momentum, snowball, the whole nine yards. We're going to get this baby rolling downhill. And it's going to build into the next season.
But
the problem is in the offseason, we can't look, because next year's schedule is a pretty good one, too.
Yeah.
We cannot go into that season with our sphincters tight, trying to do whatever it is to try to win games and eke out games. You be you. It'll line up, man. It may not line up next year. It might be that it's What's that kid out of Alabama? Smothers. His junior year, which is a long way out, by the way.
Right, yeah.
But it might be his junior year that Nebraska finally gets an 11-win season. But I promise you, those will be really common after that. But it's just having the patience to get to that spot. Scott Frost has a 7-year guaranteed contract, guys. He should see every one of those 7 years.
He will.
This is not a normal situation for a coach, right? He is Scott Frost. He is from this state. He's the guy everybody wanted. And by the way, he's walking into a program that literally was doing everything the opposite of what he wants to do with his
exactly.
program.
Exactly.
Right?
He's already doing better than last season.
So stay optimistic. Be excited every season, hoping for the best, because those seasons do happen, right?
Yep.
But the moment it falls apart, it's not time to sit down and drastically say, all right, Nebraska didn't win a conference championship in year two. This is obviously going to crap because he won one and at UCF. Guys, it's a different situation, a different animal. I mean, hell, we were telling you with that UCF team, he showed up. There was actually a lot of talent. And it was because they sent, what, he sent four guys that year to the NFL that were all on the team when he got there. He didn't recruit those dudes. The only one he recruited was that quarterback who showed up and played great. He's got a quarterback he recruited that is going to play great. But I also think in that conference, Scott had to keep up with the Joneses and go fast, play hard, score points, get turnovers, all those things. He came into this situation saying, I'm going to make them do that with me. But instead, he's walked in, and it's tough sledding, man. He's walked in, and I'll say this till my face turns blue. You have so many average teams in the Big Ten. They're not great, but they're average. And they're average to the point that if you walk in and your ducks aren't in a row, they'll put it to you. But if your ducks are in a row running this offense, see Ohio State.
Yep.
And see what they do to teams.
Oh, yeah. When we played them last year, we saw the offense rolling.
But, like, see how they're able to go against meat and potatoes, and they dominate it because they are extravagant.
Yeah.
Like, they are talented, but they also run an offense that's like nothing is in the else that's in the Big Ten. Except Nebraska's, which is moving in that direction.
Yeah, Aaron Nebraska tweets in, yeah, Dabo went 6-7 in his third season.
Sure. I mean, it's going to – and Dabo showed up to Clemson, and Clemson was not in a good spot either. I mean, they were in a terrible spot.
Mm-hmm.
That was the same – he was hired at the same time Bo was.
Right.
But it's just – it's one of those things, and I know, like, I know it's frustrating because we are all so excitable as fans, and I do not lose that. We should be excitable.
Oh, yeah.
Hell, you got Indiana coming to town. You're going to hear guys probably picking Nebraska to win by 14. They have the ability to. Do they have the want to? And do they have? Are they going to play aggressive and fast? I don't know. We'll find that out. But, man, I'm telling you, like, just because Scott Frost and staff is not necessarily – like, right now they're playing with a little fear of failure, I think, and I think it's gone down to the rest of the team. And I am a firm believer that if your head coach does that, it'll trickle down. He starts that process. He gets it going. And if he starts playing like what we're talking about, Adrian's going to pick it up. Mike Williams catches a deep ball downfield. I promise you the next time he comes out, he's a little bit more confident, a little better. And here's the thing. If he goes out there and no fear of failure, I line up, we play fast, I sub Mike Williams in, Mike Williams lines up and can't get the job done, when he comes running over, they're going to coach him up. They're either going to put him back in or put someone else in, but they're going to go no fear of failure, like what they talked about, like what we saw at the end of last year. Remember, Cade Warner didn't get a freaking snap for the first half of the year. Now, it's a fun joke because he had 17 catches for 90-some yards, but Cade Warner came in and you saw no fear of failure last year. He played his ass off, got 17 catches in the second half of the year. All right, you know?
Yeah.
Was he as explosive as we'd like to see? No. But he got in and worked his ass off.
Mm-hmm.
They figured it out a little bit. Like, I'd like to see that this last five games.
Definitely.
Let's go to the phone lines. We got Gary Jerry calling in. Gary Jerry, what up, brother?
Good morning.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, you know what? For the first time, I agree with you 100%.
Oh, crap. I need to reassess what I am doing right now on the radio is what I just found out.
Dude, you know, here's the thing is that, you know, people, I've seen, and I see comments, and I understand why they say it. You know, same old thing, same old thing, same old thing. Nothing's changing. You know, the difference between Frost and Riley was that Frost is a proven winner. Riley wasn't. Now, I liked Riley. I liked him a lot. I mean, the guy was he's a great person. And he's probably got a pretty good football mind. You know, Callahan had a really good – he's got a good football mind. But he's not a head college coach by any means.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the big difference is that Frost is a proven winner. He did it at Central Florida. He did it at Oregon. And you're right. We don't have all the pieces in place. You know, I think the reason I'm more, you know, really, I guess, mostly why I'm disappointed is that last year we took it to Ohio State, really. I mean, we could have won that game.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened this year?
Is Ohio State better or worse this year or the same as last year to you?
I think they're better.
Oh, they're a lot better. Oh, yeah. They might be the best team in the nation.
Their offense even well, the front seven on defense, they're as tough as I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I got to tell you, I think they might win it all. I mean, they have a chance. I don't know if they will or not. I haven't seen Alabama play. And I know Clemson's not as good as they have been in the past. But Ohio State's a good football team. But Minnesota's not.
Mm-hmm.
Minnesota, that was really getting worked by Minnesota. It was, you know, I wouldn't mind losing to them. Well, yeah, I would. But you know, a loss is a loss. I get that. And some people would say, well, I'd rather get blasted than I would by losing by 1 point. A loss is a loss. I don't care how much it is.
True.
How many points. But to get worked like we did up in Minnesota and just be an ordinary team, the effort, how come we're not getting the effort that I think we should get? There's been times when they've shown that effort, especially the defense. But the offense, what has the offense really done? You know, and that's not Frost's fault. We need to get better up front. We need to get better in setting the edge, not letting guys get outside of us and forcing that run back inside. You know, there's a lot of things we need to do better.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm with you. You know, it's going to take time to get the right personnel in place.
Mm-hmm. All right, man. I appreciate the call. Thank you.
No, you guys take care.
Thank you so much. I want to make a point here, and this would have been – I just grabbed a random year to prove a point of when Frost was at Oregon.
Okay.
And I've done this before. In this offense, okay, and I've told you, you don't need NFL players at wide receiver – and you don't need NFL players at offensive line. You need quality college players at both of those spots. That's what you need. Just give me some, you know, decent college players. My offense is going to make you guys good, okay?
Yeah.
You need a quarterback that is good in the system and has NFL-level talent. Now, in the past, these guys sometimes wouldn't go to the league because the league wasn't ready for that type of quarterback.
Can I get an example?
Yeah, here, hang on. Let me give you this, and then I'll give it. It's who was the kid that came in there, and he led the nation in quarterback efficiency. He transferred into Oregon, and it was Frost last year there, and he was super good. Oh. He also had no shot at the NFL. He transferred in. He was a real good athlete. I'll get it for you. Hang on. But, so I went to a year. You have Marcus Mariota. Mariota goes out and throws for 4,454 yards. He throws for 42 touchdowns and 4 interceptions, okay? Now, when he does this, by the way, the offense that season, they had 474 passes attempts. 474 in a season.
Yeah, wow.
We're talking, I want to say that year he played, they played in 13 games.
Jeez.
So you have 13 games, 474 passing attempts. You want to guess how many times they ran the football that year?
I mean, I would guess 500.
They ran the ball 644 times.
Wow.
In 13 games, they had 1,100 plays. Okay? So, which is insane. Yeah. That's insane. That's no fear of failure. You're going fast. You're going, going, going. It's a lot of points. The defense also was turning people over because that was a really good team. Better talent than what Nebraska has right now on defense, but they were playing, right?
Yeah.
So if I told you this quarterback threw for 4,687 yards, and here are the guys he threw to. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Byron Marshall, Darren Carrington, Devin Allen, the white fast dude that played track that tried to go play at Denver as a undrafted free agent.
Oh, my.
Dwayne Stanford.
Huh.
Farrell Brown is a tight end with a cool name, never played in the league. Keenan Lowe, Charles Nelson. So those are your top 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 receivers. Listen to this in a year. You had Byron Marshall. He got a chance in the league, didn't pan out. He had 74 catches that year. Then they had 37, 41, 43, 25, 28, 23 for the next six guys. That is a scheme and a smart quarterback getting guys open.
Yeah.
That is a none of those dudes.
I've never heard of them.
You never heard any of them.
Nope.
They were quality wide receivers at college.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them weren't all that good. I bet a few of those guys got asked to come try out for teams, but they didn't get drafted. A lot of them didn't even get asked to go try out for an NFL team. That's what this offense can do for you. Right? Now, that's mm-hmm. this offense humming with a Heisman quarterback. But you can go back and look at Mariota's first couple years when he wasn't that. Or you can go back and look at other quarterbacks in this offense with Frost and see how the offense looked and how it changed.
Yeah.
It'll get there. We haven't seen it yet. But I also, the frustrating part is we're not seeing it because it's not going.
Would you say the second half of the Illinois game, was that a little bit of it?
Oh, hell yeah. That's what you see. They went out and got aggressive. They threw downfield. They got going. I wouldn't even say the first half of the Colorado game because it wasn't as aggressive necessarily as you wanted. They completed some long passes,
right,
but it was on broken plays.
Yeah.
But, like, legit, man, like that's what you can expect. Out of,
I see what you're saying, man.
You know, and that's just where I'm at.
I mean,
Mariota's freshman year, where Mariota walks in as a true freshman and plays, he still had. I'm sorry, this is not Mariota's freshman year. Give me 1 second. Darren Thomas, another quarterback who was really good.
Mm.
So Mariota's freshman year, they threw it 373 times with him, and they ran the ball 685 times. That is insane.
Jeez.
Like, that is absolutely insane. But that kind of gives you an idea. Like, I mean, again, his receivers, you know, the ball was spread out a lot. Nobody you've ever heard of catching passes. But it's because they were no fear of failure. You're going fast, throwing the ball over the place. You're testing some downfield. You could tell which guys were their downfield threats and which ones weren't. So that's what I'm hoping to see when they come back. And if we get that in the next five games, guys,
yeah,
I mean, we're good.
The only thing that's stopping us is if Frost is in his own head, and that's why we're seeing the decline in plays.
Yeah, well, and again, I'm sure if he was sitting here, he'd say, yeah, Vernon Adams is the guy I'm talking about. Vernon Adams was a good player.
Huh.
He was a good player. He was never going to get a shot in the NFL, but he's a hell of a player, and he walked right in there, and they're spreading the ball around. He's throwing around. He had injuries that hurt him as well.
Gotcha.
But it's frustrating because I refuse to believe, and this is a compliment to Scott and his system, I refuse to believe that they can't scheme open the others. You know, he is fortunate and has some good players, and he's bringing in some good players, by the way. He's fortunate to have some guys, but I just refuse to believe, and I get it, your offensive line's struggling right now, but boys, part of what this offense does is it makes it easier on offensive linemen because they're not able to go balls to the wall right off the snap.
Mm-hmm.
They have to figure out if you're handing it off, if you're passing it, is it a handoff to the guy who's in motion right now, or is it the other direction where their guy comes in motion, they're also going against the grain on that motion? You know, like, there's a lot of stuff that they do with this offense that we just have not, unfortunately, been able to see yet.
Yeah.
And they dictate to the defense. And it's not really happened but one half this year.
Yeah.
And again, I'm complimenting this staff because I have nothing but great belief that they're good enough to get Mike Williams to finish the season with, in the next five games, he can get two damn catches per game if he's on the field.
Yep.
You can get Woodyard a catch or two and have plays designed for him, because it'll open it up for everyone else. Those screen passes that you throw a lot lately, that every team is up on the freaking line of scrimmage, they're going to have to respect these other dudes. Right now, they don't care. They're straight manning up, or they go to zone because they know these guys are just running right to my next guy. Mm-hmm. So they're going zone. But, like, that's what I'd like to see. Sure. And, you know, and if we come out of this thing and they still go 6-6, guys, that's all right. It's all about the forest for the trees.
If you did it with those players at Oregon, you could do it here.
I believe that, 100%. Oh, yeah. So, all right, that is my I wanted to get that off my chest.
No,
and this way I'm not sitting here feeling bad that Hooksy is listening to me go into a diatribe like he usually has to.
Yeah, he's keeping tallies of all the asses that you've
said. I have said ass a lot.
Yeah.
Which is all right. I do appreciate all the people tweeting in the gifts of Stephen A. Smith.
Yes.
And his famous ass man deal that he had. All right, let's take a really quick break. We'll come back. We're going to talk a little more Huskers, maybe some NFL. We got Marco on the way at the top of the hour. Excited to talk with him. Big game tonight. Nice Thursday night football game. Denver Broncos, winners of two in a row, hosting Kansas City, who's lost two in a row. There's a lot on the line here for this game, guys. There is a lot on the line for this game. And believe it or not, Oakland Raider fans should be excited. If Kansas City drops a third game in a row, the Raiders are going to have an opportunity to move into first place. Like, solely in the division, which is insane. All they got to do, I think, is beat the Packers.
My knee.
Yeah, my knee. So we'll take a break back after this.